But I'm telling you, the things I've done, if I get ready to go into the Holy of Holies, I am so glad that I can approach him with my heart, even if I've been a little obtuse to what he wants me to be. Amen. But we need to try to make a conscientious effort to keep this temple holy and pure. Amen. Amen. Sin separated them from God. But after Calvary, the veil was rent in twain, mercy opened the door to the holies of holies. Jesus shed his blood on the mercy seat. It was no longer an animal, but Jesus Christ himself, blood as it were, was sprinkled on the mercy seat, remitted our sins, and now we can approach him without fear of judgment. So his presence is no longer in just specific locations or in beautiful buildings, but it is in the heart of every person that is a child of God. I tell you, following that new birth, following the experience of the Holy Ghost, that's when our bodies become living, dwelling places for the one true living God. Amen. What else does it do? Provides a central place or centrality in worship. And when Moses directed those builders to erect the tabernacle in the wilderness, they placed it in a central location of the 12 tribes. If you read about it, there was three tribes on each side, compromising the 12 tribes. God didn't want anybody to have any better or any worse access to the tabernacle. He wanted everybody to be ready, accessible to all, and everybody have the same opportunity to come. But when Jeroboam, and I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in a lesson, when he became king of Israel, he tried to appeal to the people by placing places of worship in the north and the southern part of the Israel kingdom. And that's not the way God meant it to be. Not to be scattered everywhere. He had a place of worship designated, and that's what he intended for us to do. He has a designated place for occupying and for us to worship, and it is from inside a pure and holy heart. You are the temple of the Lord and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when Solomon built the temple, God instructed him to build it in Jerusalem, a central location for the nation of Israel, just like the tabernacle in the wilderness. And the spiritual application regarding this is that our service to the Lord should be at the very core and the very center of our lives. It's not just an aspect of our life, but it should be the very center and the very core of our life, our worship to God. Amen. What else does it do? It demonstrates our approach to God. When both the tabernacle and the temple were completed, God dwelt there. He manifested himself in the glory cloud to his people. And he directed Moses to build everything according to pattern. When it was finished, he moved inside of it to signify that he was well pleased. And the instructions for our lives from God himself, if he's pleased, he's going to move into it. Amen. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Don't you want the glory of the Lord to fill your temple? Amen, amen. When God, when we follow his instructions and we build and we cleanse our tabernacle according to his word, he will move in and he will occupy your life. And the analogy I thought about, even as Moses could not enter into the tabernacle anymore, we as individuals, we can hold our fleshly lust and our desires at bay that wants to rule our bodies or our temples. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're able to keep that out. Just like Moses couldn't enter in because there's too much glory, I don't want the fleshly man to get in here and rule and reign in me because there's too much God in me. And I don't want to sound presumptuous, but I'm telling you, I want so much of God in me that the fleshly man that I am, I don't want it to take control of my life. Amen. Let the Spirit of the Lord rule and reign in my heart. At the temple dedication, after Solomon's prayer that we mentioned, the glory of God filled the house. The priest couldn't even minister. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 8. When we repent of our sins, we're preparing a place for God to dwell, a place for him to come in. And since he requires a clean environment, we should clean up our lives with our godly sorrow and a contrite spirit. He said in no wise, I'm not going to turn that away. We got to have that kind of attitude about ourselves. Repentance means that one turns around and walks in a different direction. The word repent simply means to retreat. And retreat means to make 180 degrees and go the other way. We need to turn our back on the things of the world and go the other way. I'm here to tell you a truth. You cannot bring unholy temples into a holy temple and expect results. I told you the priest could not go into the Holy of Holies. And just that's the way we are today. Do not expect to achieve results and have an encounter with God if we're trying to bring an unholy temple into the holy presence of God. It will not work. We have to have that repentant heart. Not sorry because we were caught, but real regret for our sins. I tell you, when we feel regret for disappointing or hurting God through our words and deeds and our attitude, then you're on the road to repentance. And I'm not necessarily speaking about a sinner's prayer that's wanting to get his life right. We as Christians, sometimes we have to talk to God about our deeds and our words and our attitudes. Has anybody ever had to repent since you got the Holy Ghost? Sure, there is a certain amount of maintenance that needs to be done in the temple to be pure and holy. I tell you, repentance is a revolutionary experience when God takes out our cold, stony hearts and replaces them with a heart of flesh. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. It's that simple, folks. All we got to do is maintain purity and holiness, our walk with God. And God said, you'll be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. So what else does it do, the temple? It protects the holy presence of God. In the Old Testament, God's presence was both inside the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in Jerusalem. And the Bible, in several occasions, talks about the Spirit of God. It compares it to a dove, and one can easily grieve him. But that's not what we want to do. God will not allow contamination of his spirit with evil, nor will he remain where an individual does not want him. I think about the scripture talks about his spirit as a dove, and we all know doves as to be peaceful and placid type animals. But I'm going to tell you something about a dove. A dove mates for life. There's a few birds in the animal kingdom that do that. A dove mates for life. And when we feed them out in the backyard, I get a pretty good flock of three different kinds, as a matter of fact. And that dove will be eating on the ground, and another one will come walking up. And boy, I mean, he will run him off. You hear me? Looks like a fight's fixing to break out. He does not want him there. And in a minute, here comes another one, right up beside the first one, eating side by side, no problem. I think I got it figured out. That first one that came up, he ain't got no business being there. The second one was his mate. She's allowed, or he's allowed, to eat side by side. I'm telling you, God is not going to tolerate evil and adverse things in our life if we're trying to approach Him as a child of God. He wants us to be pure and holy. He wants us only. We should want Him, Him only. Not an outsider, not something outside trying to intrude in our lives. Amen. So God's not going to allow contamination of sin. And by the same token, we shouldn't isolate ourselves from society. I think I was born and raised in this. I'm a third, fourth, fifth generation Pentecostal on one side and more than that on the other side. I can talk about this. But our concept of being separate, saith the Lord, seemed like we wanted to cloister ourselves. And we wanted to tell the world, if you come to me and merit my love, I will open the wagon, so to speak, and let you in. That's not the way the word said. You can be separate from the things of this world. You can be sanctified from the things of this world and yet dwell in this world and let your life be a witness. So don't be misconstrued. And I call it taking the easy way out. It's easy to do that, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and find yourself a recluse or a hermit somewhere and living like that and saying, well, Lord, I can't be contaminated with that stuff. We need to be a witness for God. How are we going to do that? By being pure and by being holy. This temple. Amen. We have to have spiritual holiness. I tell you, He will keep us from all evil as if we protect the holiness of God in our life. He promises to keep us. So what else does temples require? Temples require maintenance. It requires a spiritual maintenance, keeping ourselves pure and unspotted from sin. I tell you, our old nature, it wants to daily to rear its head, to try to make us do things. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And when Paul wrote those words, he used words that said, I beat myself black and blue every day. It wasn't just a slap on the wrist. I'm telling you, Paul had to double his fist up and meet his fleshly desires head on to survive. And don't think we as humans are any less. I tell you, it takes a lot to beat the flesh back. Some things we don't have a problem with, but I tell you, a lot of our old fleshly desires and things that rise up in us when we confront a situation, boy, it's easy to pop off. It's easy to say something. It's easy to take an attitude that's not of God. But I tell you, that's what Paul's talking about. That's how you keep this temple pure, folks. That's how you keep it holy, is to keep that stuff out of your life. Amen. So we need to have spiritual holy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I tell you, a church building a lot of times is called the house of God. In reality, the house of God is not a building at all. It's a place where we gather. It's a place that we do hold sacred. But I tell you, a group of people, a body of believers, is the house of God. Amen. And we as individual temples are a dwelling place of God. I tell you, He lives in us and shows Himself to a watching world through us. So there is a certain amount of maintenance that we have to do to this temple. And I thought about the ones that take care of this church, Brother Charlie and Sister Liz and Brother Johnson, everybody that's involved, even all the teachers and different ones that take care of their Sunday school rooms and stuff. We have to take care of this building. I tell you, I am so proud of this church, the way it looks, the aesthetics of this church. I love it. But it's not done just willy-nilly. It comes with a price. And it comes with work and endeavor. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to be proud of ourselves as a temple of God, it's going to take a little maintenance. It's going to take a little keeping it clean. My wife fusses all the time. If she don't dust two, three times a week, she can't keep up. I live in the dustiest part of Louisiana, I guess. But it takes a little cleaning every now and then. But after you clean it, fill it with the glory of God. So that Moses and Solomon and the priest couldn't even get back in. Because if a house is found clean and garnished and nothing fills it up, guess what's going to happen? I am a firm believer that spirits of the evil world are required to stay in their given location. And I found that two times at least in the Word of God. He said, if there ain't nothing there, I'm going to go get some of my buddies and we're moving back in. Seven, that's worse than I am. We have a requirement, folks, to keep the temple of God pure and holy. Amen. And we need to do it for the whole world to see. I'm out of time. We all know about Peter and John being evil, and they looked on them and they said, they are unlearned and ignorant men. But you know what the rest of that scripture says? They realized that by what they were doing, they had been with Jesus. I don't really care if somebody thinks I'm ignorant and unlearned. In a lot of ways, I am. Dumb as a box of hammers about a lot of stuff. But I tell you, I want people to understand that I have been with Jesus. There was a member of my family at a wedding we recently attended, and this lady was there helping, and we met her, and she came from a Russian descent on her mother's side, and her father was of Middle Eastern descent, who was a practicing Muslim. And she didn't practice anything to speak of. But she said something to my brother about this family member. She said, if that's Christian, I want that. She was a very sweet lady, very kind, and was very helpful. But she said, I don't practice anything, but if that is Christian, I want that. I tell you, in the most subtle way, you can let your light shine. They weren't doing anything but just helping out, cleaning up, being a part, giving of themselves, doing what God wants us to do. And people recognize that. So don't ever think that people are not looking. So I ask you this question. Does your life remind people of Jesus? When they see you and see that holy temple, do they see Jesus? Do you remind them of Jesus? So we need to let the whole world hear. As members of the body of Christ, we have the life-saving remedy that is a cure for both the body and the soul. Amen. And in closing this morning, one other scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You're a holy temple, folks, pure and undefiled. Let's keep it that way. I tell you, we need to be a temple for God. There are temples of old. There are buildings we attend today to come and worship. But, folks, we are the temple of God. Let's keep it pure and holy. God dwells within the hearts of all of us as individual, and he wants to make us a temple and be a witness to this world. I love you this morning. Don't you want to be a dwelling place for God? We sing the song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a witness, a living witness for you, or however it goes. We need to be that holy and righteous temple of God. God bless you this morning. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll take a quick break and be back for morning worship.